Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
They score! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
A right by Watt! Get out! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Sports Flood. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. 100% happy to have you on board. And we got a jam-packed, action-packed show. Not just a great show, a day of the ump. Oh, my goodness. So much happening. So many different sports to choose from. And we're going to bring you almost all of them. Or at least two of them. Pre-game coverage of the Atlanta baseball Braves starts at 10:50. 12:07 is your first pitch as they take on the Blue Jays. That's right here on the ump. And then interrupting baseball will be the Alabama football spring game. That spring game pregame starts to you at 1:30 this afternoon. And you will get all of the mind-numbing action that is spring football. All the stuff that you would want to hear right from Tuscaloosa. That's right here, exclusively on The Yump. Other than that, big show as it is on this program. As we are actually being interrupted for Braves baseball. The first time I've ever been interrupted in the history of my radio for my show for baseball. Now, it's happened for basketball before, but that's usually NCAA tournament stuff where it happened before. It's never happened for baseball. So the Atlanta Braves will take on the Toronto Blue Jays. You can hear that on your home for many, many years of the Atlanta baseball Braves. Sports Radio 730, the Up 103.9 FM. But don't think we won't have basketball covered, because I got basketball talk out the yin-yang at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. With Craig Sager Jr. That's right, Craig Sager Jr. will be on the broadcast. We have to talk about him cutting his hair. He used to be really long-haired, now he's really short-haired, and that's weird. The Atlanta Hawks are good still. They haven't completely fallen off the map. In fact, they're the one seed. They're still pretty good. Paul Millsaps just came back. Sofa Luncher, whatever his name is.
Cephalosia.
That's right. Sofa Lunching is back. Actually, he's gone with his police brutality claim that's going to happen. So that's going to be interesting to watch. This entire NBA playoffs is going to be interesting to watch if you're watching the Western Conference. Eastern Conference, we're waiting to the finals. Although Washington-Toronto, to me, I think is a sneaky good matchup to watch. That's the 4-5, if you guys are paying attention at home. It is the Sports Flood. My name is Arky Shea, joined by the sofa luncher himself, Magic Mike Rose.
The what?
Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. What'd you call me?
A sofa luncher.
A sofa luncher?
Yeah, he's a great player for the Hawks. Sofa luncher.
Oh, you mean Cephalosha that had
right.
His ankle or tibia broken?
Selfish loafer, yes.
All right, selfish loafer. Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Magic Mike, selfish loafer Rose. I want to congratulate the Nashville Predators because they needed for me. They won a game last night in the playoffs when it looked like they could have just flat out gotten collapsed. Because the way they ended the season and the way they lost game one, hoo doggy. What'd I say? You're right. That's how big it was. It was a hoo doggy. That could have meant something. That's the extent of the hockey talk on this program today. We do have much, much more to talk about, including we have We weren't expecting it to be this early. But we have our latest inductees into the face palm of shame. Sometimes greatness just happens. And that's what the committee found this week. We got new inductees to bring in later in the show as well. Your phone number to get in, if you would like to do so throughout the day, is 1-866-485-9867. 1-866-485-9867. However, the best way to get part of the show and to get heard is real quick on the Twitter, at Arkyshea, A-R-K-Y-S-H-E-A, at The Sports Flood, which is the show, at WUMP730, which is the station, and the producer is at Magic Mike Rose.
We got a lot of handles, you know that?
Yeah, I can't handle these handles. I wonder if there's a Twitter account called Love Handles. Quick look. And doesn't look like it.
What a shame.
Yeah.
Shame, shame.
Brings up a lot of interesting pictures that I should probably get off of before I get fired from the station.
And also, the missus wouldn't be too happy about it.
Well, listen, the missus doesn't check out my computer. That's my business. My business. That's why I go into private mode on my phone. Private browsing mode. You can't follow that. It's my content. So big show planned for you guys today, for you guys to get in. I first want to thank everybody who came out to the show last night at Straight to Ale Brewery, the AIDS Action Coalition group, which was... really, they did a great job of helping us put on a very funny show and a good fundraiser for really a great cause. The AIDS Action Coalition is a great cause, and we raised a whole bunch of money for it. No one ever gave me the final count. Maybe I should send a text, find out what the final amount was. We brought made a whole lot of money on donations, a whole lot of money on the bake sale. It was a very good cause. Thank everybody for having us out there. If you missed it, what were you doing? What was more better? That's right. I said it that way. What was more better for you that could have been going to see a comedy show? In April?
I couldn't exactly go because I had my kids with me.
Is Scandal on? Is Sherlock Holmes on?
I prefer Suits more than anything.
I'll tell you this. You guys should check out some of this local comedy. There's some really funny people here. Really funny people. Like people I can't even compete with, but it's fun to go up there and try. Really funny people to listen to. Okay, so enough promoting of the Huntsville comedy scene. Let's talk A-Rod. Alex Rodriguez homers twice yesterday. Twice! That's two more than zero. Alex Rodriguez hits two home runs and the Yankees only win 5-4. The Yankees are 4-6 now after beating Tampa Bay last night. 4-6. And a lot of it, you'd have to say, is thanks to Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez last night, three hits. Three. And the Yankees, far from just being in contention this early in the season through 10 games, the Yankees are now relying on Alex Rodriguez's bat again.
How does that make you feel as a Yankee fan?
Oh, let me tell you guys. This is a very weird position that the Yankees are in. Because the Yankees are two home runs away from A-Rod from having to pay him $6 million for his milestone of tying Willie Mays. $6 million extra dollars. Can I mention to you that's on top of the $61 million already owed based in base contract for the next 2 years. And on top of the fact that Alex Rodriguez has already made $365 million in his career. Actually, I think it's 56. $356 million just on field earnings.
That's a whole lot of dough.
It is. So the Yankees find themselves in a very weird position. What are we actually rooting for? Because without A-Rod, where would the Yankees be? A-Rod, let me tell you, is hitting .344 on the year. Four homers, 11 RBIs, .432 on base. Now, that may not all be what you were expecting from A-Rod, but that's what he's giving you. And he has been consistent, which is a very, again, weird place to be.
He's back on his cycles.
If Alex Rodriguez gets this far and helps take this team to even somewhat contention, how huge of a story would that be, despite where the Yankees even end up? I mean, a lot of people think that this could be a semi-lost season for the team. Sort of an in-between. Even though you have a couple of great pitchers, they're not really giving it to you. Tanaka's not been hot. Neither has, Mr. CC Sabathia.
So his weight gain did not help him out too well?
Not yet. Give him time. Michael Pineda, not lighting it up. Baseball, your transition for the team is very clear with Derek Jeter being gone. Mark Teixeira is an old man, but he's still hitting okay. And your guy who leads the team in batting average, home runs, RBIs, on-base percentage, hits, is the guy no one wants on the team. Or at least seemingly from afar, no one wants on the team. Joe Girardi was asked last night, where would this club be without Alex Rodriguez? He said, quote, "It's hard to say. Not 4-6, I know that. Without Alex, we're going to lose that ball game." How much do you think it hurts Joe Girardi had to say that?
How many games are we in right now?
Game 10 for the Yankees.
How many games are in a season?
162.
So we are 6.25% into the season.
Let me also remind you that the only reason the Yankees have four wins is because the biggest story for the Yankees is that the guy nobody wants on the team, the guy that the Yankees management especially wanted off the team, wanted desperately him to be hurt, that way they can give an insurance policy where they could just give him money and let him go away, leads the team in all major statistical categories offensively.
The way I feel about this is that if it does keep on continuing and the Yankees are actually in contention come, say, beginning of August, mm-hmm. when it actually, will get deep into the playoffs or playoff talk and playoff stretch, this could be the ultimate evil empire story. I could see a whole lot of hate going on.
Now, I should also point out that he also leads the team in strikeouts. But that's okay, because he also leads in home runs, RBIs, on-base percentage, batting average. The second highest batting average is John Ryan Murphy. He's played in four games. Anybody know who John Ryan Murphy is?
Is he related to Dale Murphy?
And he's only hitting .300. He's close.
All right.
He's close. When you talk about regulars playing, I mean, Chris Young's hitting .292. Jacoby Ellsbury is hitting .256. Mark Teixeira, .219. Chase Headley, .205. Carlos Beltran, .184. These are guys that are playing 9 and 10 games of the 10 games.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the combination of Sabathia, Teixeira, and A-Rod, their salaries, they're more than, was it 6 or 7 MLB teams' payrolls, if I'm correct?
Well, I don't know that number off the top of my head. I'd have to look into it. But they're paying them a lot of money.
Three players. And one is doing something, while the other two ain't doing jack.
Well, that's why...
Last year, none of them did jack.
That's why, quite obviously, this team is still second or third in Major League Baseball payroll. Despite the fact that on their roster, they still got cheapo guys like Brian McCann and Steven Drew. Reasonably priced Chase Headley and Jacoby Ellsbury, Brett Gardner, and John Ryan Murphy. How about Alex Rodriguez is slugging 781? Alex Rodriguez, it's boom or bust kind of with him. He does have a couple of doubles. Leads the team in total bases. So where do you think the Yankees want this to end? Because the Yankees, you either let this guy play it out, and from everything I've read, it's going to be a huge battle for the $6 million if he gets the milestone bonus with Willie Mays and anybody else he tries to pass. But I don't think anybody had 4 home runs in the first 10 games for Alex Rodriguez.
Well, if the Yankees are going to complain about paying A-Rod the money, they shouldn't have signed the contract. They shouldn't have put that provision in there to give him the bonus.
Well, here's the thing.
That was their own fault, and they should own up to it, plain and simple.
They should own up to it to a degree, but there's also a very easy part for the Yankees to say, "This we were signing this under false pretenses. We were assuming you
weren't
voided up."
What false pretenses? What false pretenses?
That you're playing within the rules of the baseball, that you're not going to be suspended for an entire year because of something that is the probably biggest thing that's been talked about baseball over the last 10 years.
He was already a steroid user before he even went to New York. Already. You take that risk when you actually sign him and you put that incentive of, oh, if you break these home run records, we'll give you X amount of dollars. That's your own fault. Live up to it.
I'll tell you the only thing that that bugs me ever as a Yankees fan was that the Yankees, like Alex Rodriguez signed this ridiculous 10-year, $250 million contract while he was with Texas. And then just a few years into it, Alex Rodriguez gets sent to the Yankees. The Yankees pick up the contract. And I think it was 2 or 3 years after that that the Yankees extended him. Extended him to what he knew he was going to be like 41 or 42. Through that extension at the time. So we knew at the time it was going to be a huge contract. There was going to be a ton of money by the time everything was finished anyway. But if I'm the Yankees, I can see how I'd want to get out of this. I would want to have gotten out of this. Now, do you punish A-Rod by making him go out in the field a lot more? Do you want him to actually get hurt so you can void any amount of his contract that you would have to pay? Because if he gets hurt and can't play again, there's an insurance policy where the insurance will pay the remainder of the contract, and that's it.
Do you realize how shady that is, though? That's even worse than what the Los Angeles Angels are doing to Josh Hamilton.
It's not great, but both sides aren't happy with each other. A-Rod just seems sort of be there against management's will.
And then, I mean, you start getting the people when you got multiple MLB franchises going against the players. You're going to turn off a lot of people because of those actions. Baseball is still already struggling with ratings as it is. They can't take any more hits like they have before. Or else we might get into, like, 95 level of ratings, which is very bad.
Listen, this is a team that's welcoming A-Rod onto their squad when they didn't want to welcome him. He apologized to the team, just to the team, and he said, "You're not fully forgiven." In fact, that the Yankees said they have no intention on paying off a separate merchandising contract that they agreed on in 2007. He had no place to play in their field, they said. And then he would have to prove that he could hit well enough to even get a part-time spot in the lineup. And yet, this guy is your leader in every major statistical category, offensively. It's a very weird position the Yankees are put in. Very weird. Very strange. Very awkward. Your best offensive weapon is a guy you don't want around. And whether or not the Yankees should have to pay is different than whether they feel like they want to pay. The ethics of it are different than the reality of how they feel. The Yankees don't want to pay this guy a dime further. But he is the biggest offensive threat. In fact, he hit the longest home run in baseball this season last night. 477 feet. And the longest home run in the Trop in 10 years. I hope he's roiding up. Good reason to watch that team. 866-485-9867 is the phone number to get in. We come back. I want to continue baseball talk. But the reason I want to talk about it is because baseball last night had a, let's just say, another episode of Baseball Justice League. And I want to talk about that next. Sports Flood. Tell me it ain't no thing. That's what I want to hear. Welcome back in. It is the Sports Flood. Happy Saturday to all of you guys. Phone number you can get in today is 866-485-9867. On Twitter, at RKShea, at Magic Mike Rose. We got a question of the day coming out from the Sports Flood on Twitter. How much spring football will you watch today? Less than an hour, more than two? You can weigh in on that. We'll read some of those responses later on the air. Maze Duane tweets in at RKShea. Unfortunately, I'm a Reds fan first, but Yanks are my mistress team. I'm loving the whole A-Rod deal. Hope he has a nice season. He is starting to reach, I think, for a lot of people, or at least some people, he's starting to reach sympathetic status, where you feel for the guy to be so hated, yet he's persevering. Roys or none. He's having a nice year so far. Four home runs in the first 10 games. Not bad at all. Early leader for MVP? Yes. Last night in Boston, the Orioles and the Red Sox played a 3-2 game. That's not the biggest deal. The biggest deal was Ubaldo Jimenez was tossed after he plugged Pablo Sandoval. But that was not the biggest deal. The biggest deal was that was a retaliation shot for what happened. That happened in the fourth inning. What happened in the second inning is the big thing. In the second inning, Pablo Sandoval was going to second and then took out with a, don't they call those a takeout slide? They're called a takeout slide for a reason. Took out Orioles second baseman Jonathan Schoop with a hard slide on that force out. Now, Pablo Sandoval went a little out of his way to make sure that Jonathan Schoop did not get the throw off. In fact, he did the thing where you almost expected to see his cleats touching the grass behind the pitcher more than you expected to hit the bag. So it really, to me, it's a little bit of a dirty move, but it's a part of baseball. Still a dirty move. Still a part of baseball. Still a dirty move. Still a part of baseball. So in the fourth inning, the next time Pablo Sandoval came up, Ubaldo Jimenez said, not so fast, and plucked him right in the shoulder. That got an immediate ejection for Ubaldo Jimenez, and Buck Showalter came out and hated it, argued it, and later called that decision professionally embarrassing. Ubaldo Jimenez went on to say after the game, that's the thing. He didn't give me a chance to react or anything. Without any warning, there's no history. I'm cool with Pablo outside of baseball. You can ask him. He continued, especially against a left-handed hitter, you aren't trying to go down. You're trying to go up. I'm assuming he means the strike zone. I had three walks. It's not like I had perfect command on my fastball. I was shocked. If you haven't seen the video, it's fairly obvious. It's a response shot. It's a payback shot. And this is what gets me. What year is it, baseball? What year is this? 2015? Why do we have to have our Justice League of the American League show up night in and night out for retaliation? Why do you, as a pitcher, two innings later, why are you required to go and hit another member of the other team because of something he did two innings ago?
So,
It's just because you're sticking up for your team. Your team wouldn't play defense behind you if you didn't show that you're part of the same team. You can't just, I don't know, move on.
So you're going to call this the Baseball Justice League?
This is part of the Baseball Justice League.
Who's Batman?
Oh, I don't know. You're asking. I don't know anything about comic books. Brian McCannigan. Brian McCann, one of the most sanctimonious SOBs in baseball I can imagine in my life.
All right, then.
But I don't know who. The Green Goblin.
Green Lantern.
Same thing.
Superman.
Yeah, I don't know who any of these guys are.
Who would be Wonder Woman?
That would be Alex Rodriguez.
All right. Yeah, I'll deal with that. Yeah, that works.
Actually, Derek Jeter looks more like a lady than he does.
Oh.
But listen, what is up with baseball? Guys, what year is this? It's the same question I'm going to keep asking baseball until you actually answer it. How old is this game? And how young are we going to act? This is stupid. Look, I don't mind a retaliation shot for something that's actually maybe legit, as in, let's say, Pablo Sandoval punched your second baseman in the face, no one saw it. But he took a takeout slide. And this takeout slide that went that far outside the baseline, let me ask you this, umpires, where you at? Throw that SOB out the game. You have to have some kind of order, and it shouldn't be enforced by the players. The umpires have to be there and be like, that's not cool, man. You're out of the game. See, when you start getting kicked out of games, it starts meaning something. And then I don't have to see Ubaldo Jimenez go hit Pablo Sandoval. And here's the thing. Why do I have to watch batters get plunked back and forth, because another batter was plunked back and forth, as a retaliation for a batter that was plunked back and forth? You know it's so dumb. You know first pitch Pablo Sandoval is going to get right at the shoulder. And I watched this and I was like, no way. Please tell me he is not going to do this. Please tell me he's just going to throw it right down the middle. Let's start this at bat. No. First pitch, you got to know I'm here. By the way, Pablo Sandoval is a fat dude. He didn't feel that. So either you want to just let him know you're there by throwing a 91-mile-an-hour fastball into his fat, or you really want to let him know in there, you throw it at his face. But you can't do that, can you?
No, you can't.
So what's the difference with being able to throw at his shoulder? Promptly ejected, good. Ubaldo Jimenez should have been ejected. No warning. I don't need a warning. You don't need warnings for something that you know is obvious like that. You need to be warning after you punch somebody in the face? Hey, dude, don't be punching people in the face again. All right, you got me once. You can hurt somebody with a projectile like that. Stop, it's dangerous, it's stupid. We're playing with fire here. We're going to get burned. Bad. The fact that the shot exists is problemsome enough. The fact that, well, I'm not going to hit him in the face, but I'm going to hit him at like 93 in the gut. Or at 93 in the bottom of the back. He's going to know I'm there. It's also stupid. If you really want to make your shot known, you go straight for the noggin. But you know you can't do that. So then you shouldn't be able to do it at all. 866-485-9867. I'm so tired of the sanctimony that is baseball. You guys are so mired in your stupid traditions. And your stupid, on the field, we regulate this ourselves. This is our game. You no flip bat. We hit you if you hit flat bat. Oh, me, McCann. Me, enforce rule.
Really?
You go fast around bases after homer, or I block home. Stop. Please stop. Move on. Grow up. You guys are in your mid-20s, early to mid-30s. Let's just play some baseball.
Are they going to run around with their billy clubs all the time now?
I'd like to see that a little more.
Look, but yet you don't want them to hit people.
If you don't like a guy flipping the bat, throw a better pitch. But if I hit a home run off you and I want to celebrate, I'm celebrating. And if you want to show me some justice next time, strike me out.
You know, the flip bat, I mean, I really don't care about the flipping bat. The best home run trot was always and will always be Ken Griffey Jr.'s nice little slow walk right out of the box.
People aren't really huge about that. People don't like when Manny Ramirez stared down his home runs. I get it. Stop giving up home runs. Oh, it's easy to say that. Yeah, it is. It is. That's why it's your job to actually do it. And if somebody hits the home run, he got the best of you. So how about this, guys? You shove that ball down your gullet and try better next time.
I mean, do you see anybody in the NBA get mad when somebody breaks their ankles?
They get embarrassed, which is how it should be.
But I don't see anybody fighting.
Hey, what did Chris Paul do the next day? Throw 41 points after getting his ankle broken by Mr. Steph Curry. How about use his motivation as opposed to, you know what I'm going to do? That guy kind of took out my other guy. No one got hurt. He extended in the game. So since the umpires aren't going to do anything about it, I'm going to throw at his big fat quadricep. We come back. I want to talk about the spring games. Finally. Finally. Spring games are upon us. My Twitter timeline is all spring game excitement. Gonna get that coming for you next. Sports Ball. Welcome back in. It is Sports Flood. One happy show after another here on Sports Radio 730 The Ump, 103.9 FM. Don't forget, 10:50, this show will be preempted by Atlanta Braves baseball. That's right. Going to be a good time had by all as we watch a little baseball on the radio. So happy to have that on. Also, we'll have the Alabama spring football game as Alabama takes on Alabama in a showdown for the spring of the ages. So that will be happening at 1:30 is your pregame coverage of that, and that will be throughout whenever it finishes. Don't have a time. The game starts at 2. The practice starts at 2. The drills start at 2. And that's where it bugs me. There are a lot of people that go to these games. And some of you may be listening on your way down to Tuscaloosa. And thank you for listening. But I'm about to question your decision-making. What is it about spring games that are so appealing to us now? And I mean now, I mean the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, I think the real boom for spring games started when Saban came on campus at Alabama. I think that's first spring game for Alabama where, if I'm not mistaken, it may have been packed out. If not packed out, it was very close to.
It was over 90,000. I know that.
Yeah. And then I think that legitimately was the beginning of the boom of spring practices for our spring games for us to go watch. And then Alabama and Auburn had their battle back and forth. And then all of a sudden, Tennessee had a couple of guys. Not nearly as many, but they had a couple of people. And then it all of a sudden turned into a thing where if you're a program of note, you got to sell this junk out.
And in Kentucky, well, don't forget Kentucky last year had over 30,000 for their spring game.
And Kentucky doesn't even have a football team. So I've been to one spring game. I'll just put it that way. I've been to one spring game. And is a friend of mine, Cody, wanted to go see before the 2010 season. And that was Cam Newton's year. And it was hotter than blazes. And really, at Jordan-Hare Stadium, there's only one nice little section where, if you're not in the luxury boxes, which I'm poor, I don't get into, if you're not in the luxury boxes, you get very little shade. And I'll tell you this, 2010 wasn't a year where Auburn had like 70,000 people there. Now, 2009 wasn't a great year. 8-5, yeah, some excitement there. 2010, no one knew what was going to happen. And the only cool thing about that for me was I went field level, basically, and was close to Cam Newton just to see the sheer size of what that quarterback was. A quarterback. It was kind of marvelous to see how big of a dude was your quarterback. Eventually, once you saw him run throughout the season, you harken back to that spring game, you're like, that's a big dude doing all that. Sort of gives you an appreciation for what it is.
Does Auburn have that autograph fan fest on the field before the game like Tennessee does?
No, as far as I know, Auburn would have their stuff in like Auburn Arena. Like, you can just go over to the arena, I think, afterwards. And here's the great thing. Is that spring games are just, they're nothing. They're zeros. And I'll tell you this until the day I die, that they're nothing. Unless one of these years, especially this year, if Nick Saban comes up after spring practice and said, you know what? Jake Coker is not our starting quarterback. David Cornwell is. You're like, wow, that is a big deal. That is a huge deal. Until then, it's nothing.
Well, like a man in my position where I have my twins, the spring game is actually good to take them to a stadium compared to, say, like a fall game where you get all the college people. Well, some of them will be extremely toasted. And that's an environment I really don't want my kids around. And the spring game is more family friendly.
There's that. I do sort of get the excitement and the ability to be able to afford this a little more than a normal game. But as far as I'm concerned, the spring game doesn't give you anything. Especially not something that you're not going to want to just spend a few minutes on if you're watching it on TV. Brody Joe 12 tweets it at Wump 7:30 at RK Shea. Is the A-Day game televised? I believe it is. I believe it's part of a... it's not on ESPN. I believe it's part of the whip-around coverage on SEC Network, but I'm pretty sure it's probably an ESPN event. Mike, if you don't mind doing me a favor, look that up real quick. With spring game the way it is, and now that the SEC Network exists, you have even less reason to go watch. Because this spring practice, which is what it is just a giant walkthrough with some practicing in, but you're not going to see a lot. Especially when you're now giving tape of every SEC team, which will be available. You think Nick Saban, as paranoid as he is, Gus Malzahn especially, is how paranoid he is he's going to give you that much extra stuff on tape for you to prepare for? No way. You'll see plays you've already seen before.
Well, I mean, you've heard the backlash from some of the coaches right now. They are actually starting to get very angry about the TV networks actually televising the spring games live. They would rather have it cut down, edited, and the way they would like to present it. You see
sure
what
they would. Sure they would.
And by the way, it is at 1 o'clock on the SEC Network, and then there will be a replay at 6.
It's at 1 o'clock? I thought the Alabama was at 2.
Or
their coverage may start at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Auburn's at 1.
Yeah. Oh no, Auburn's on the network as well with Alabama.
Yeah, they're going to be like whip around coverage.
Yeah.
Like we saw. I think it was last week where Arkansas and South Carolina were whipping around on the network.
And then Tennessee's at the same time, I believe, as well as Auburn.
They're all just going to whip around and go whatever. You'll have guys. Everybody will be around. So, what do you want to get from the A-Day game? Because my timeline right now, quite literally, is... Let me read you just the first 5 tweets I got right here. Got my new jersey pants ready for the A-Day game. It's A-Day game, baby! What time is the A-Day game? Adam Amin. Our friends at LSU Football and their SID are monitoring the weather because of the A-Day game! A-Day, baby. Love the A-Day game. Can't wait to get back to Auburn. Yes. What are you doing? What do you think? Don't you have family and friends you can hang out with?
It's a glorified scrimmage.
It's not even glorified anymore. That's the thing. I was thinking that too earlier this week, but it's not even glorified.
And remember last year, Blake Sims did very poor in the spring game.
Here's the thing, exactly. What do you expect? Here's your dichotomy, okay? Last year, Blake Sims was god-awful in the spring game. That plus some reporting from friends close to the program said if Blake Sims continued at what he was there and they weren't expecting that much upside, that if he was your quarterback, you'd lose at least two games. I went and said three. Nick Marshall threw for a whole bunch of yards, a whole bunch of touchdowns, and so did Jeremy Johnson. Especially Jeremy Johnson. Which team lost the Outback Bowl and which team was in the college football playoff? Exactly. This really is the ultimate, I don't know, I'm only watching football because football is on the TV. In that case, there is no cure for your disease. You will die from it, but it'll be a death you'll smile doing. 866-485-9867.
People around here got that itis going on.
866-485-9867. We come back. A streak was extended last night, and it has a chance to be extended even more tonight. That's next. Sports Flood. Hey guys, welcome back in. Sports Flood. That guys can't do stairs. It's just not cool. It's not cool. Hey, congratulations to the longest running streak that I know of right now. And that's to the University of Alabama gymnastics team over Auburn. Did it again last night at the NCAA Super Championships. Or whatever it's called. They move on to the Super 6, and they slip past Auburn just barely. Maybe the closest these two have ever been. Here's the one problem I have with this. That's 116 in a row, by the way. Both Alabama and Auburn move on to the national championship moments, which will be tonight. So the actual championship, the final six teams, which will be Oklahoma, Alabama, Auburn. Nebraska won the evening session. LSU, Oregon State. That was your session. So it'd be Oklahoma, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Utah, Stanford. We'll move on. My only problem with is Oklahoma outscored Alabama. So I know it's technically finishing above Auburn, but is that really a winning streak?
I wouldn't say that.
If you're competing
in a meet, then I mean you either won or you lost.
Except that's not how gymnastics works. You just got to finish ahead of them. We come back. Craig Sager Jr. next here on the Sports Blitz.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Yeah! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
A right by Watt connected! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the Sports Flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Che.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore. Welcome back in. It's a Sports Flood. Happy Saturday to you. Busy, hectic time happening around the Cumulus Media area here in the basement. Lots of fun stuff happening. This show going to be interrupted at 10:50 by Braves baseball, then Alabama pregame at 1:30 for the spring game, which now leads me to the NBA, naturally. Let's talk to a friend of the show. We haven't spoken to in a while. He is covering the Atlanta Basketball Hawks. He is Craig Sager Jr. Craig Sager Jr., how are you?
And yeah, busy is exactly what you said.
Busy.
I've got the high school playoffs coming too, so I'm really busy right now.
Are the high school playoffs? I know I saw you covering some of the Georgia State Championships. I thought that was the state championships. What high school playoffs are happening now?
Yeah, we have – that's what I do most of the full time. We have an app that has all the Georgia scores. So we've got our soccer playoffs coming up.
Oh, soccer.
Cross playoffs, baseball playoffs, got the track and field championships, and I got gymnastics to cover next week. So,
well, we are lucky.
Playoff time – yeah, it's the busiest 2 months of my life. So let's get it done.
We are lucky to even get you for like 2 minutes here. That is a jam-packed schedule.
Yeah, okay. No, this is the perfect weekend, though. Calm before the storm.
Perfect, especially since the Hawks open up tomorrow against the Brooklyn Nets in their Series 1 versus 8. Before we get to that, so what's up with the hair? You got your hair cut a couple weeks ago. It's a lot less. What'd you do that for?
Yeah, so my family, for some reason, they always have long hair, and I have red hair, and I always wanted to grow it out. And I actually, before my dad ever got sick, when I first got to college, both my aunts passed away from cancer. So I always wanted to grow my hair out really long, and then I knew the end result was going to be to cut it at one point because I wanted to donate it. I mean, obviously, a lot of it was for the good cause, but in the end, I did think I had pretty cool hair, so it was kind of a win-win for me. So I grew it out, and then it's just one of those things, as tough as it was. My mom was getting remarried that weekend back in March, and so I just decided to cut it, and so I donated it. And it's been tough, and it definitely has taken some getting used to, but it'll grow back.
Well, I guess the one positive is you will save a few dollars on shampoo every year, so that's okay.
Yeah, exactly, and hair ties.
That's true, and hair ties as well. You can follow him on Twitter, at Craig Sager Jr. What's the latest on this Thabo Sefolosha issue where he broke his tibia? Was it with the police brutality sort of mindset happened there outside a club when he was allegedly told to stay back from a crime scene where there's a Pacers player that was stabbed that night, and he and a teammate were told to stay back, and allegedly they didn't stay back from the crime scene and ended up basically ending his season.
Right, and I think the Hawks have done a good job of not coming out and saying anything, because obviously there's talk now where Sefolosha is saying, hey, I wasn't even involved in that incident over there. This guy antagonized me. I was just talking. Then I broke the rules. Then next thing I know, I'm getting hit by a baton, all that. But they're kind of laying quiet. The court case for all this is June 18th, so that's going to get resolved. But at the same time, what people are looking at now is they wanted to arrest him for not leaving the crime scene, but then apparently in that video, it was, I think, either 150 or 200 feet from where the stabbing happened anyway. So they're saying, well, he wasn't really in the crime scene. So it's a messy situation, but I think all we can do at this point is wait for that June 18th because it's too hard to jump in there and try to guess what happened, and that's what the court's for.
That's a good point. Paul Millsap came back a couple of games ago. How big is he for this stretch run playoff run for the Atlanta Hawks to try to get past all of this into the NBA Finals? How huge is he for the team?
So huge. I mean, obviously Al Horford's huge too, but he just takes so much pressure off him down low. And I think that's one of the Hawks' biggest strengths is their ability to move around pieces in the paint. And then even a guy like Mike Muscala who came in and played some solid minutes when Millsap was out. I think they just have a lot of depth in those positions, and a guy like Millsap can lead the team in steals. He's great defensively. He's great on the boards, and I mean, he's a huge piece. I honestly think he's probably the most important player on the team.
Yeah, I would argue that since he's leading the team in scoring at 16.5 a game, but like you said, that depth, you have several players that are averaging double digits. Kyle Korver's averaging 12, Jeff Teague averaging 16, DeMar Carroll is averaging 13. Al Horford, 15. So there's several guys. I think Dennis Schroeder's near 10 a game as well. So you depth has been the big deal that has led Atlanta this year.
Oh, yeah. Six guys are averaging double figures. And the team play, it's not even just on the offensive end. It's definitely on the defensive end, too. That last time they played Brooklyn where Millsap got hurt, this is one of the craziest games I've ever seen. The Hawks had, I'm trying to think, yeah, the Hawks had 15 steals, but like 10 different guys on the team had a steal. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. And then, I mean, that game they had 12 players score over 6 points, and but for 10 guys to get a steal on the same team in one game, it was just – it was so impressive. And then the way they're turning those points into three-pointers, I mean, they can go in transition, do that dump-off pass behind the Kyle Korver. So when their defense is cranking up, it's their team that can work the shot clock, but they're also – you can't give them those extra points because they've been – they're so much better in transition this year. All these guys are running definitely a big part of their game is that defense that gets them going.
Craig, it's Mike. Real quick question on this one. The national media has been really all over Cleveland, over Chicago, over Golden State, over San Antonio, but they seem to overlook Atlanta. What is the feeling around Atlanta about the national media not even giving the Hawks real attention?
I mean, to be honest with you, I bet everyone that has said those things or is writing those things right now has probably watched less than six games this year. And even the last couple weeks, I mean, when the Hawks have had their starting lineup in this last month, I think they're like 6-7. And even a huge lead when they have their starters in, and then and you get double-digit lead and Coach Bud takes the guys out and doesn't want to get you in hurt into the playoffs. So I think anyone that's watched them play the entire year, it's like, yeah, it's the playoffs. No one's just going to walk their way through there. But for the people that think Brooklyn, a team they've beaten four times by 17 points per game, is going to come in and challenge them, and the Hawks are scared. I mean, I don't think they're scared at all. I mean, Al Horford has played in big games, won championships with Florida. I mean, they've got experience on this team. Coach Bud's not some brand new coach that's never been in the playoffs. He's been in more playoff games than probably any coach in the NBA right now. He was just an assistant. So I think the mentality is something that they're overlooking. I mean, I think definitely teams like Cleveland and Chicago can give them trouble. They can give them a good series. It's not going to be easy, but for them to think that Atlanta still has this mentality where they're scared going in or they don't believe they're good enough to win, I think that's wrong. Been playing the same style of basketball all year. They've dealt with a bunch of injuries. They've moved their roster around, and they haven't even had to win this last couple months.
We're having a little bit of a technical issue. We're going to call Craig right back. It happens sometimes on an older board like we're running through right now. That is no fault on Craig Taker Jr. It's 100% ours. I'm looking forward not so much to this series as I feel like I should be, but I am looking forward to the general NBA playoffs. And Atlanta's a team that very quietly sort of wrapped up number one seed a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago. And the fact that Golden State got all the love with Steph Curry and with that entire squad of being able to score at will, Klay Thompson, they seem like they took the entire run of the second half of the season, yet on the eastern side, all the Atlanta Hawks did was continue to win and wrap up the number one seed. I think they were just the hot story, especially in the first half, because they were so far and above the rest in the Eastern Conference. Back to the First Family Mortgage line, back to Craig Sager Jr. Sorry about those technical difficulties, Craig, but I was just talking about how the Golden State Warriors and really the Western Conference in Cleveland got most of the love, when Atlanta just continued to go on and do about their business, quietly wrapped up the number one seed in the East. Does it feel like a team that just got a little bit of less attention because they were so far in a way better in the first half that the second half almost seemed like a formality as far as clinching a playoff spot and maybe even the number one seed?
Yeah, I definitely agree. But I think one thing that the media did overlook is, I look at the Hawks record last year, they're below 500 team. I don't care how unimpressive you think they ended the season. And last year, they went in the playoffs. They gave the Patriots a good run, and they're a good team. But for them to go from under 500 to wrapping up the number one seed with 2 to 3 weeks left in the season, I think the fact that that's been overlooked as much as it has, it's bad. But, I mean, what can you expect? As long as the Hawks don't buy into that stuff, I think they're fine. But this is not – it's a young team, but it's not – it's not a lack of experience, or it's not guys that don't understand the game. It's a very smart team. They understand the game of basketball, and I think that's all that matters at this point. And I believe they're going to have a strong showing, at least in the first two rounds.
Last question. How many games do you think it takes Atlanta to close out this series?
I think they get Brooklyn in five.
Five games. So you think Brooklyn gets one? Is that one of the ones in Brooklyn?
Yeah, they might. They're not losing. I mean, look at Brooklyn. They're getting some. I mean, Lou Williams giving. Not Lou Williams, sorry. I'm talking about Toronto, the second round. Yeah, I mean, Brooklyn will play well at home, I think. But it's hard to beat a team. They've already beaten Brooklyn four times this year. I think it's just hard to beat one team eight times. That's my only reason for thinking Brooklyn gets a game. And I think it's going to be competitive games. I just think the Hawks are too good down the stretch, because while Brooklyn, they're looking for Aaron Williams or Joe Johnson to get that last shot. I mean, in those last 2 minutes trying to set something up, the Hawks are just moving the ball and just piling on. That's why they've been able to close them out so well this year, is because Brooklyn doesn't have that easy scoring that just moves around. So in close games and blowouts, the Hawks have just been able to dominate the fourth quarter.
He is Craig Sager Jr. You can follow him on Twitter at Craig Sager Jr. By the way, maybe the coolest avatar I've seen. You, your dad, and Pop, Greg Popovich, hanging out. That's a solid group of people hanging out together. So kudos on that as well. Appreciate the time, and I look forward to talking to you again at some point.
Awesome. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you, sir. You too. He is Craig Sager Jr. Really many endeavors. ScoreATL.com. Covers a lot of Georgia athletics as well, but also covers the Atlanta Hawks for us. Gotta take a break. When we come back, more football. Right? Right. Sports Flood. Welcome back in. It is the Sports Flood. Glad to have you guys aboard on a spring football Saturday in Alabama. That means all we do is football. I love football, guys. I do. It's just a lot when you're asking me to give a lot of attention to the spring football game. Ohio State will have their spring football game on the television as well. That's a big deal. But there's a bone of contention I have with the spring games in general. Alabama football, it's all called around Alabama and Auburn. Their spring games is called A-Day. But shouldn't Auburn go with AU Day? Not only would it differentiate from Alabama, but think of the marketing you could do with that. You sit there and say, we're different than Alabama. We are special. We're not going to use the same A-Day bogus crap that they've been using forever. We are AU Day. And think about the money that could be made. You don't think t-shirts could be sold? You don't think hats could be sold? You don't think banners and posters could be sold for AU Day? First of all, Auburn fans love to differentiate themselves from Alabama fans at any possible moment for any possible thing. It only has to take a small amount to really differentiate. Like, you remember the State of Auburn shirts that came out? I think it was last year. It was just a shirt with the outline of the state of Alabama, the actual state. And inside it just says State of Auburn, and it had Auburn colors. Those things sold like wildfire, still sell. You don't think a spring shirt that says AU Day? even if it's a cheap shirt that you sell for $5 that you make for $1.10, you don't think that could be a seller? Please. Please, and trust me, you're not selling these for $5. Those State of Auburn shirts I've seen are like $38, $39. You can make even more. Look, all college football has turned into, and college athletics has turned into, how many revenue streams can I have? How many sticks can I have in the fire? How many pokers? Because all it is about money, really. And if you can market championship gear and Western Division gear and making it to the college football playoff gear and got 12 We Do gear, even though it's more now, I'm aware. You can market all of that. You can market AU Day. Easy. It's not even hard to do. It really isn't. So I think Auburn's spring game should be called AU Day. And I put this out on Facebook yesterday. Someone said, well, what do they call Tennessee? T-Day? Like, that's not my concern. My concern is that you're differentiating in the state of Alabama. Because Vanderbilt could be V-Day, and it's a whole different thing. You're just trying to differentiate yourself. Give yourself another revenue stream. It's even. Cam Walker tweets at Arkshay, why shouldn't Alabama go with UA Day? Come on, Arks. I'm fine with that, too. But if Alabama's the premier and Auburn wants to change something up, and let's face it, Auburn's been Alabama's little brother for a while. Why not be different, continue being different? If Alabama wants A-Day, it makes sense. Their first two letters are A-L, and they're actually the state of Alabama. Auburn is not a state, it's just a city. So let them have A-Day and go with AU-Day. For my money, I think AU-Day sounds cooler. It sounds different. It's different on the ears. For my money, I'd much rather buy a shirt that says AU-Day than a shirt that just says A-Day. 866-485. Listen, I think there's stuff to be done here. And we want to talk about how every little moment can be capitalized on and monetized on. This is a good idea. At least you're not changing. And I say to Cam and Michael Phillips, who's favorited that tweet, at least I'm saying you're not straining away from A Day so far. If you go UA Day, you're starting to put something in front of it. Auburn, at least, is Auburn University Day. Alabama, University of Alabama Day. They get their day. I understand. But I think for Auburn, AU Day sounds better. It just, to me, it sounds better. Am I wrong? Tweet at Arkshay at the Sports Flood if I'm wrong. Or if you agree, I like AU Day. I'm never going to get over this notion of AU Day. It just sounds cooler.
Is it just because it's got the U?
Just because it's different. It's different. And it's a chance where you can just sort of say to Alabama, the state, and to, let's just be fair, the guys across the road, so to speak, hey, we're a little different. We're forward thinking. How about that? Have the big AU logo dash day. Boom. Not hard. Somebody hire me. At least try to figure out what we're trying to figure out here. AU day sounds cool. UA day sounds all right, but A day just, to you, Cam Walker, and everyone listening, to me, A day just sounds bland. It just does sound bland. I'm not saying all traditions have to be updated, but I'm saying here's a shot to be a little different. Don't tell me we're not looking to be different.
I mean, is Vandy called V-Day?
Well, that's the thing. I don't care about the other states. We're talking about Alabama.
I'm going in the SEC, man.
Plus Tennessee and Vanderbilt, who are in the same state, don't start with the same letter. 866-485-9867. At least in Alabama, the rivalry's a little deeper than the Tennessee Vanderbilt's.
And a little less one-sided.
Don't act like we're not in a new age, by the way, everybody. We're sending recruiting letters to guys' girlfriends. And a lot of them.
And then guys are announcing their commitments via Times Square billboard.
Schools are sending cakes. Guys are announcing via billboards. It's a whole world of attention. What sets you apart? This could further set Auburn apart. I wonder if there's some people who are adverse to this because they think it would be a little more like you're kowtowing to Alabama. Like, okay, we'll get off this. You can have A Day. We'll take AU Day. Like, if this will be seen as a sign of weakness. I don't think it would. By the way, Auburn, you don't have the upper hand on Alabama. Please don't act like that exists. You've never had the upper hand on Alabama. Statewide, nationwide, you've won the games, but you've never had the upper hand in this series all time. And for that to happen, you need about 10 more championships for me to start considering it. No, you know, I'll give you 8. 8 more national titles, I'll start considering it. So why not go a little different, a little off the rails, so to speak? Am I completely off base here, Mike?
I don't think you're off base one bit, actually.
I think this is genius. And I'm surprised more people aren't on board. Look, I'm an Auburn honk. That's fine.
I mean, you could just go up to people and be like, you know why AU Day is better than A Day? It's because it has you in it.
Perfect. Auburn family. Look at that. How's that? Look, when I went to Montevallo, there was a homecoming tradition. They didn't have a football team. But their homecoming tradition was to put on a play. I know. It's a liberal arts school. Trust me. And there's a purple side and a gold side. And they had their own song that they would sing. And they also had their own chant that they would do. And one side would say, they would circle around the auditorium on the inside, but around the seats. They would circle around the auditorium, and they would say, first one would say, you know why our circle does not have a hole in it? Because there's always room for one more. You say, well, you know why our hole does not have a hole in it? Because we're a united family, so on and so forth. So spin it however you want. AU Day's better because you are in it. You could do this. Cam, come on. Get on board, man. Let's get this going. AU Day could be a huge deal. Huge deal. And Cam, you and I could be on the forefront. And Michael Phillips, you could come on aboard too. 866-485-9867. On Twitter, especially at ARKYSHEA. Are you in? Are you with me, people? Got some exciting news yesterday. I'm going to see a personal hero of mine, Garth Brooks. Don't roll your eyes. I see you trying to roll your eyes. Don't roll your eyes. Garth Brooks is a legend. Entertainer of the year, buku's amount of times. He is the best. He is a better entertainer than Rihanna, than Iggy Azalea, than Katy Perry, whoever you got. That was before we started throwing pyrotechnics and what was Katy Perry riding in in the Super Bowl in like a giant lion or tiger? Listen, Garth Brooks is the man, and he's coming to Birmingham in June. Not been to Birmingham, the state of Alabama, in 19 years, and yours truly is coming. Let me tell you what happened. I was finishing up with Cole's show yesterday. Mrs. Arkey was trying to get me. This is technically my wedding gift, so happy wedding to me. And she was trying to get tickets, and she got on board at the same time, but everybody and their mothers were on at the same time. But apparently there was such a high demand for tickets that a second show was added for like the Saturday night. It's supposed to be a Friday-Saturday. So he's going to perform once on Friday, once on Saturday. There was such a high demand that they added a second show, a 10:30 p.m. show. And that's the one I'm going to. Mrs. Argue was on the computer trying to get the tickets the same time as everybody else. and she got pushed to the second show. Probably because we were trying to get four seats together, too. And I'm sitting lower bowl. None of that floor junk. Unless you're first couple of rows, I can't do floor. Feels like it would just be far. Look, I'm not tall. I'm 5'7 and a quarter. I'm not going to see over many people. That's not going to work for me. But lower bowl, I can see everything I want. Just off to the left side of the stage, Garth can look over at me. I can squeal like a girl. Yes, that will happen. It will be a great show. So there will still be a sports flood that day since the show's not until 10:30 that night. My goodness. I don't know the last time I was up past 10:30. It's been a while. But I'm a huge Garth fan. And I'm a huge, huge Garth fan. And when he came back, I was so happy. I was very happy. I still am happy, by the way. Hey, coming up in our next segment, we have our latest inductees into the Face Palm of Shame. Two inductees, actually. You know, we weren't scheduling this so we would have multiple inductees every single week. But you can't anticipate greatness. And when stuff like this happens, the committee makes executive decisions. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't do anything about it. I'm sorry, we just can't. But we can induct him into the Face Palm of Shame. And that's coming up in the next segment as well. Man, do we got something funny for that. I got a text in about this Alabama winning streak over Auburn in gymnastics. And that's because Alabama was technically scoring above Auburn in the, let's say, the first NCAA championships. But now they're going to go to the Super Six, where six teams will go, the top three from each session, morning and afternoon, moved on. Oklahoma, Alabama, and Auburn moved on from the morning session. Florida, Utah, and Stanford moved on from the afternoon section, or semifinals. So it's Oklahoma, Alabama, Auburn. Alabama beats Auburn, but they don't win that session. So technically, is that a win? Do you only have to finish above somebody? Like, if Usain Bolt finishes second in a race, can he claim a winning streak over whoever finished fourth or third?
I mean, if you finish second, you're the first loser. Plain and simple.
But it's the winning streak of Alabama over Auburn continues at 116.
They did. I mean, really? Really?
I
mean,
if you win the SEC championship.
It's not one-on-one. It's not Bama defeating Auburn. It's Bama was ahead of Auburn. They didn't defeat Auburn.
866-485-9867. Come back. Our latest inductees into the Face Palm of Shame. Welcome back in, everybody. RQ Shea here. This is the Sports Flood. Let's waste no time on A and AU Day. See, it only starts if I start, you know, saying it now. It's AU Day down in Auburn. A Day up at Tuscaloosa. Let's waste no time in getting to our Face Palm of Shame inductee ceremony. This was a really shocker that we were able to get two inductees so quickly after last week's initial inductee or the inaugural. But ladies and gentlemen, I have a couple for you. As voted on by the committee, I will open up the first envelope here. A little tough.
You need some help with that, Bear Man? All right.
Now can you read my writing? This goes to Mississippi State University. See, courtesy of attention of the university's baseball team. Mississippi State University's baseball warm-ups Thursday after their baseball practice included a dot connect the dot motif on the front. It said, "Welcome to Stark Vegas." Ha ha ha! So funny. But it had a whole lot of dots on it. It seemed like a kind of a pattern, you know, like the lights of, you know, one Las Vegas. But it turns out that if you connect the dots on this jersey, it spells out a message. The blue dots, the red dots, the green dots, the purple dots, and there are orange dots. Those orange dots spell out F the school up north. Other phrases include Hail State, Duty Noble, Stark Vegas, and Left Field Lounge. But the one phrase that seemed to stick out was F the school up north.
They were trying to keep it subtle, but it didn't work out too well, did it?
Full responsibility later that night. Then we apologize to Mississippi State. The Bulldogs base layer graphic today featured an old artwork that was never presented to the university. Does not reflect our brand values, blah, 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 blah. Scott Strickland, the AD for Mississippi State, who, interestingly enough, the next day got a 4-year extension.
Oh.
Tweeted, "It came to my attention this afternoon that a shirt provided to our baseball team by Adidas has an inappropriate phrase written on it. This is completely unacceptable and does not reflect the standards and values of Mississippi State University or its athletic department. For anyone who was offended by this t-shirt, I was, please accept our apologies and rest assured that this has been rectified." Mississippi State hosts Florida for a 3-game series this weekend. So, welcome to the club, Mississippi State baseball team. Proud day for you. It's a proud day for all of us when we can get that in. Also coming into this ceremony, our first lady.
Oh, do tell.
Former NFL player Phillip Buchanan's mom.
I'm curious, what did she do?
Well, Phillip Buchanan has written a book called New Money, Staying Rich. Former NFL cornerback wrote that his mother made a monetary request of him after he was drafted by the Raiders in 2002 in the first round. The excerpt says,
"Monetary request from your kid.
Soon after the draft, she told me that I owed her $1 million for raising me the last 18 years. Well, that was news to me. If my mother taught me anything, it's that is the most desperate demand that a parent can make on a child. The covenant of having a child is simply that you give your child everything possible and they know you nothing beyond a normal amount of love and respect. There is no financial arrangement." Buchanan said he did not pay his mother $1 million. Instead, he bought her a house and covered the costs. He said, "I bought her a house with my luxury taste and no real wisdom behind it. It was an uneducated purchase because the cost of maintaining the house became too big of a burden. He offered to either buy his mother a smaller house or, check this out, give her $15,000. She chose $15,000.
Wow.
Buchanan went on to say he learned a lesson from this, saying, quote, "Early on, I found myself in too many situations where some relative would come to me and claim they needed something fixed. So I'd write them a check. Of course, the problem... The problem never got fixed. The check, however, always got cashed. By trying to fix a problem, I created an additional one for myself. It took hundreds of thousands of dollars, far more than the cost of an Ivy League education, to learn this lesson. I can at least attribute
Ivy League education from him.
I can at least attribute it to my mother. It's true. Mothers have a way of making you learn the most important lessons in life." Oh, burn! Sick burn! So congratulations to the newest inductee into the face palm of shame, Phillip Buchanan's mom. Welcome to the club. It is a very elite company. Wow, was not expecting to have these many winners show up.
Winners?
Hey, here's something weird. An Alabama student has joined ISIS.
Oh, I read about that yesterday.
Yeah. That's weird. This is according to a BuzzFeed News report. A 20-year-old Alabama college student was radicalized, apparently, through social media and ultimately abandoned her family to join the so-called Islamic State. the student who the BuzzFeed identifies as Hoda. Isn't that the lady on the Today Show after show?
Yes, it is. Hoda and Kathy Lee.
I think we may have some issues here. She now resides in an ISIS-controlled area of Syria. She left her family in Birmingham to wonder exactly how it all happened. Well, that's a little roll tide for you there. Hoda's father, Mohammed, told BuzzFeed, "I want to apologize for what my daughter did. I believe she's been brainwashed. She's not that kind of girl. They brainwashed her." Well, ISIS does kind of brainwash a lot of people. Mohammed and his wife moved to the U.S. from Yemen in 1992. All of his children were born here, and they are American citizens. He says, quote, "He controls his kid like every family, but that ISIS found somehow, some way to get through to his daughter." Perhaps the most difficult thing for Mohammed to come to grips with is that a present he gave his daughter appears to be the way they got through to her. Upon her graduation in 2013, Mohammed gave his daughter her first cell phone. And that's how it all began. Cell phones. I saw this Twitter account, speaking of cell phones, called S White People Ruin. And it is a scary, scary account. A lot of Twitter is, and a lot of Vines. Cause let me tell you this. I don't want to go on a social media rampage here. There's some weird stuff happening. Like, did you know that it's...
Yeah, you are most definitely 100... Actually, you're more like 1,000 times correct on that with what I've seen on Twitter. Yeah, you're right.
Did you know it has become acceptable to have someone start filming a Vine, and your Vine is basically to go up to a student sitting in a desk and punch him in the face, cold cock?
Oh, you mean the knockdown game or whatever it's called?
I don't even know what the knockdown game is. No, it's like legitimate. You go over to the desk
and you
make sure your buddy's recording, and you just sucker punch like the kid at Kentucky, like the quarterback at Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been like that for a while, and there's actually been people killed over that.
Did you know it's also acceptable for young ladies to start singing about sausage? It's called Eggs, Bacon, Sausage, and you just go around in a circle filming like a line of a song, which is like eggs, bacon, sausages, keep it going. And then girls start talking about basically having
a sausage
coital times or non coital times, precoital.
Some of these people.
Here's the thing. It doesn't bother me that young girls talk about sex and that guys talk about violence and sex. What bothers me is that these guys are posting it on social media. 12, 13, and 14 year olds are posting on social media. Our coworker and friend Cole Kubrick just had a baby girl.
I've got a baby girl.
By the time that girl's social media age,
I'm worried about my kids with that, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be a dad. I don't know if I'll ever learn.
I mean, honestly, there is no right and wrong way because it works out everything different.
But here's the thing. To give a support system, and they start singing about sausage on the internet.
Yeah, that would... Nah.
Can you imagine that conversation between parents? Like, Mr. Magic Mike, I saw this video of your daughter and my daughter singing about sausage. Did you see this? I'd immediately go into, no way, no, nope. Could have been my daughter.
No, I mean, the thing is with that is that if I see it and I know it's my daughter, she's going to not be happy with me when she gets home.
I just, there's no way to really control it, but here's the bad thing. Old man Arky coming in at 29, there's too much information and too much... The bad thing is not the information. The bad thing is that social media has given us a desire to get likes and retweets and revine and sausage blocks or whatever they're called. That's what social media has done for us. I'm worried that just because you're trying to get a retweet, it's going to get out of control. You already see the tweets. If I get 500 retweets, I'll streak across the field here at Brian Denny Stadium, or whatever it is. That's worrisome to me. That is how the mob mentality finds its way from being just people to being social media. very weird. Because you think, hey, some of these things are cool. You know, hey, what if you know, what if I get 10,000 retweets? Will this celebrity go to prom with me? That's kind of a nice story. Then it turns into, if I get 10,000 retweets, Mr. Johnson won't give the test. Oh, that's kind of fun. Then it turns into, if I get 1,000 retweets, I'll streak across the Super Bowl. I don't know why we're doing that. That seems like a lot. Seems like a lot. That's going to do it for me here today. We're going up against Braves pregame coming up in just a few seconds, actually. The Atlanta Braves take on the Toronto Blue Jays. Don't forget, A-Day is happening in Alabama in Tuscaloosa today. You can hear that on Sports Radio 730, the Up 103.9 FM. And don't forget, we are changing Auburn's A-Day to AU Day. We're going to start that right here thanks to the Sports Flood. It's AU Day from here on out. All right? Thanks, Craig Sager Jr. for being on. Thanks, Magic Mike, for producing. Thank you guys for listening. And thank the Atlanta Braves for interrupting me in just about now.